Jesus. All right. Good morning, family. How's everybody doing? Do you have any happy people today? A few? That's good. How many of you guys are glad that God is just an all-accepting God? That He accepted us where we're at. He doesn't want us to stay there, but He accepts us where we're at. Last month, my wife and I traveled down to Austin for a few days and for a company party, actually. And my the company I work for flew us down and put us up in this, what I came to find out, a pretty nice hotel, a little nicer than we're used to. And so we get there, traveled all day, had a baby with us, and the first thing I wanted to do was go to In-N-Out. Okay. And so we get there, our friend Lauren picks us up, and I said, can we go get In-N-Out burger? Double, Neapolitan shake. Glory. So we went and did that. And I thought, like, we'll have time to eat it and then we'll go to the hotel. Well, the hotel was like 6 minutes away from In-N-Out. So we get our food and we're like, oh, well, like we were hungry. So we like are scarfing this food, these burgers down, these shakes down. Well, it's a nice hotel. They're going to valet our car and everything. So we pull up and we're not ready. We have a baby in a car seat. We have burger wrappers. I step out of the car. I'm like shoving the burger in my mouth and the person's trying to like valet the car. And I look at Nancy and she has like ketchup sauce all around her mouth. And I'm like, babe, wipe your mouth. Like, I'm like, have this trash. And I'm like, what do I do with this trash? And the guy's like, I guess I can take it. I'm like, okay, here you go. And then I'm like, I get into the hotel and I'm like, okay, I'm realizing this is a nice hotel. Like, get it together. At least try to act like I have some class, right? And so I go in and I check in. And the guy's like, okay, and he gives me my key, and he walks us to the door, and he's like, your room will be down this hall. And I'm like, okay, awesome. So I'm like, whew. We get in the elevator, and I look at Nancy, and I have this big glob of sauce on my shirt the whole time. So we didn't make the best impression. But my point in saying that is that you belong. Amen. You belong. We did not feel like we belonged in that moment. We thought we put us in a Motel 6 next time because, no, I'm just kidding. But it was a funny moment. But we, like, you belong. Like, that's the word I want to declare over this morning as we worship, is that you belong, that God is excited that you're here. He's excited just that you are who you are. And if you doubt that in any way, shape, or form, just remember that you belong. That if there's any moment where you're doubting your place, just remember you belong. Okay, so Lord, let's stand. We're gonna worship, do a couple songs, and I'm also going to pray for Pastor Mike and Gay. They're watching online. So hi, Mike and Gay. And we're just going to worship together today. And if you're watching online, whether that's right now live or later, I just right now declare heaven would invade your home and your room. So Lord, we thank you that you are here, that you love us. God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for One Life Family Worship on 35th and Titan. I thank you, Jesus, that you love this house, that you have a special anointing for this place, God. Thank you, Lord, that when people walk into this place, they feel love. When people walk into this place, they feel you. And I just declare that in your holy name, God. I pray for Mike and Gay right now. Lord, I just release your healing hand over them. I release, Lord, just your goodness over them. I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago on a cross, that you died for everything, for sin, for sickness, for infirmity, and that they, I'm declaring them healed in Jesus' name. I just pray even right now, by the end of the day, that they're going to begin to feel better, that their throats will be clear, that their heads won't be foggy anymore, that their bodies will be in complete alignment with heaven in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. is the kingdom yours? Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. And yours is the kingdom yours? Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. And yours is the kingdom yours? Is the power yours? Is the glory forever? Amen. Oh, yeah, let heaven come. Let heaven come. Pour it out. Let heaven come. touch from heaven. I want a touch from heaven.
Just begin telling him in your heart. Thank you. Thank you that you're so good, God. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for the breath in my lungs, God. Thank you for a roof over my head, God. Thank you for family, God. Thank you for friends. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you saved me. Saved me, Lord. You saved me, Lord. I was just a lost boy. You saved me, God.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are. can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love.
Stay here for a minute, you guys. This just feels like one of those Mary Magdalene moments. You know, she was constantly, as far as I could see, just distracted by Jesus. You know, there were things going on around her, like Mary was working, and the things that Mary was doing was important, but they were important for this world. Whereas Mary got distracted for what was important in eternity, right? She was able to see beyond the needs of now and how little they were in comparison to the greater things that God had for her. And so I just want us right now to begin to just push those things aside and have a Mary Magdalene moment. I want you guys to just begin to break that oil open and begin to just wash his feet with praise and just continue just to give him sweet nothings and minister to him. Because as you minister to him, that fragrance and everything also comes over you. and is able to bring. And when we minister to the Lord, we get to reap what comes from that place, right? Not that we do it for that reason. So yeah, if you guys will just go back into the chorus and we just begin to speak sweet nothings over Jesus.
You are.
Father, that you are so faithful and that you're here with us, God. Papa, I just pray that you continue to just rest yourself in this place with us as we continue service. And Papa, those things that are important to us, I know are important to you, Father, and I thank you, God, that you have a resolution for every single one of them. But more importantly, Papa, I'm just thankful that you continue to say yes to us even when we fail. Papa, you, your son, Jesus, you got on the cross even though you knew that I would mess up. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that we don't have to be perfect before you, God, but that we get to come unclean, and that we as your bride, Father, you still choose to look at us as brides, like we're dressed in wedding dresses, God, because your son clothes us in those clothes, Father. And I just thank you for your mercy and your grace that casts out everything else, Father. Yeah, I bless this service in your mighty name. Amen. Amen, amen. Yes. You guys, I'm just so thankful that you guys are here. I know COVID's making its round again, but I'm not worried, you know. We have a Father who is so much bigger than those things, and I'm so thankful for him. And so what I'd like right now is just a little bit out of the box, but I would like for us to just go and greet each other for like to take the next 5 minutes and let's just say hello and love on one another for a few minutes, all right?
I believe that stuff. Come on.
Thousand may fall at my side, though the enemy war against me, I will not fear the terror by night.
Well, good morning, everyone. You guys doing well? Good. Awesome. Well, I'm going to pray for our city. We're going to continue to contend for this. We started to, imagine that, a church praying for their city, right? But we started to intentionally do this early last year, and we're just going to continue going after it. And I want to keep it at the forefront of your guys' mind that God has something special for Yakima Valley and that we get to be a part of it. And so it's not the move of God in Yakima Valley is not reserved for the big church. It's not reserved for, the uber holy people. We get to be a part of it. And so So yeah, so I'm going to pray, and as you can agree with me in your spheres of wherever you live, whether it's, you know, you live in town or you live out in Tyton or you live in the Lower Valley or wherever it is, and we're just going to cover the city in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love Yakima. God, we thank you that you have such a special gift for this city, God, and that I thank you that we get to be a part of it. So, Lord, I bless our city. I bless, Lord, our valley, God, everywhere from the Lower Valley to the Upper Valley and everywhere in between. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work in this place, a mighty work, Lord, in the hearts of our people. Lord, in the hearts of our leadership, the hearts of our government, God, that you would do a mighty work, God, and that we would see revival take place in our city, God. Revival in families, God. Revival, Lord, in the broken, God, in the ones who need a touch from you, God, that you would touch their lives, God. I pray that One Life Family Worship would be a beacon for our city, God. Lord, that people would flock to this place, God, because they want to get a touch from you, Lord, and that our part, that we would make a mark in this city, Lord. And we just thank you for that we get to live here, Lord, that we get to do your work here. You could have sent us anywhere, and you sent each and every one of us here to this place right now. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one announcement. Yes, that time is right. Pastor Mike is a crazy man.
Spiritual beast.
So we're going to do, this is the Friday before our fast ends, the last Friday of the month, January 28th. And we're going to pray, and we're going to be here downstairs, and we're going to just, I don't exactly even know what it looks like. This is Pastor Mike's idea. And so when he's here next week, he'll be able to cast a little bit more vision for it. But the bare minimum, we're going to pray. And so you're not required to come and stay till 4 a.m. But if you want to come, and Pastor Mike said this, he's like, whether it's, you know, just whether it's a bunch of us or just me, I'm going to be here praying till 4 a.m. Yeah.
My understanding is that we're going to be going after those things that we've all been fasting for, right? And just really going after that deeper intimacy with the Lord. And we're asking to hear him, right? We're trying to discipline our flesh and just make sure that our spiritual ears are just turned up. And so that's what that night's all about, is just really going after that and being able to, you know, not only going after our personal things, but what's our vision for the church for the year? You know what I mean? And just going into that and really hearing God's plan for what we're to do. And Pastor Mike, you could correct me later if you need to.
There's something so unique and special that happens when yes, we can pray by ourselves. We can get alone, and there is power in that. And I would hope that we're all taking time to do that. But when we gather together, when the saints gather together, this is why I love Sunday so much, is there's something amazing that happens. Something that I don't know if I'd be able to accomplish if I just showed up by myself. Mm-hmm. But when I get to link arms with you guys, and we get to link arms with one another and lift up the things that are on God's heart to God, you know, especially going through this fast and really focusing on like what is, where are we going individually and where is this church going, and getting clear and concise words from the Lord. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Amen.
Yeah. And so, mark your calendar, and we'll continue talking about that, and it'll be a holy, holy time. So we get to share it today. If you don't know what you think, everybody is aware, our pastors, unfortunately, have COVID again. Mm-hmm. And so we're continuing to pray for them and believe for them. And they sounded rough the last couple of days.
Yeah.
all week I'd been talking to them, and I, you know, just like, how you feeling? I knew they had been exposed, and we were just praying for the best, and how you feeling? And all week, nothing. And then Friday morning, I get up, and he calls me, and I answer, says, hello. And he goes, bro. And I was like, oh no. I knew instantly as he could barely talk.
Yeah.
And so, but God is good. Like, I don't, I don't know how to reconcile why people are getting sick in the midst of God being good, but it doesn't change my mind that he's good.
That's right.
It doesn't change my mind that God is good in spite of our pastors having it again. It just doesn't change my mind about that. Mm-hmm. And so, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but.
No, but I believe that it doesn't change their mind either. Actually speaking to them, yes, they're not feeling good physically. It's definitely taking a toll, but spiritually they're beasts, man. They're just going after it and they're still, following the obedience of what they feel the Lord is asking of them and just, going at it. And right now, so if you could just be sending extra prayers that way, just, you know, coverage and protection and just well wishes and things like that, please do. Because, yeah, we want to see them back and restored 100%, even better than when they got this thing with ultra antibodies and everything.
Yeah, as well as anybody else who might be dealing with it. I know the Villalobos.
Yes.
I don't know if they for sure have it, but they did get exposed. And so. Yeah, so we're just going to cover our whole house in prayer, but we're going to be talking about obedience. I felt that it was appropriate because, we're in this 21-day prayer and fast. And does anybody have anybody that's fasting? Anybody have a testimony from the first official week that they'd be feel comfortable to share? Just wanted to give anybody an opportunity. Yeah, please.
So I've tried fasting before, and I just less than a day, and I'm back to me. But I didn't have much purpose back then. I was just something people do. But this time, I have a purpose: is seeking the Lord's guidance, the sacrifice, the meaning behind everything, And it's been easy. It just has been. No issues. The one day I shared, at the men's group where I was not feeling good at all, and I shared in the text, and that was amazing revival, and that's the Lord at work. Pastor Gay says something is seek or ask him what you want from him, and I've been every night praying, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to feel your touch.
Wow.
Has not happened. Have not gave up. But during worship, when that song played, I lost it right there like a baby, and I have no problem with that. I felt his touch, and I loved it. I was not going to fight it. I was going to embrace it and soak it in. And I just want to encourage everybody that fasting, if you put God first, you'll find the meaning and the purpose. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy for everybody or for easy for the rest of it, but I'm willing to take that sacrifice because he is good and he's great.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you. Yeah, that if anybody else wants to share, please come up and you can share. This has been probably the most excited I've been to be a part of a fast. I guess back in the Church of the Move days was part of corporate fast, but a lot of the fasting in the last like 10 years has been more just like me like deciding I was going to fast. And this one, I'm excited. I'm just excited what's going to come from it. I'm excited in it. As well, and like seeing, I feel just clarity. That's my testimony. Just clarity of like, God, it's nothing. The thing that I gave up wasn't bad inherently, but when I'm able to focus on like the fact that here I'm giving this to you for 21 days and not a day more, and just kidding, but I'm giving this to you for 21 days, and then I am getting. More of you because I'm intentionally doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm making that exchange. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. And so do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, no, I love the camaraderie, like all of, is that the right word, right? Yeah. I love that we're doing this together and that we have, thank you, Jesus, for, the platform to be able to encourage and lift each other up in this time, because sometimes, usually we didn't have this back in the day where we could, maybe when we saw each other at church or something, and then usually it kind of fell on the negative side of things. But instead, I feel like people are finding hope in this and that we're finding that little bit of girth just to push it through that next day, And I really appreciate you guys being part of that with us and praying and do this as well, whether you're fasting or not, but just being in unison as far as like praying into what is going on. And so I'm super thankful for that.
It's good. So obedience. I want to read this quote. I'm reading this book right now, and I recommend every single person read it. It's a book on prayer. And the book is called, it's The Circle Maker. It's by Mark Batterson, The Circle Maker. And I read this the other day. It says, if you obey God in the little things, then God knows, he knows he can use you to do big things. Mm-hmm. That's not new truth to me. I've known that. But when I read it, because he was actually talking about fasting in this part, that when we're fasting, it may seem like a little thing, right? It may seem like, well, what's the big deal? Like, who's going to know? And like, what, you know, but what it shows is it shows God, oh, because you took 21 days and you actually stuck to it and you obeyed. Like, it wasn't like I'm this sergeant in command, do this or else, but rather like, I'm asking you to give this up. And we obeyed. And in the obedience, then he's able to see, oh, I can use you in the big things later. Because I know that you obey me in the little things, right? It's much like our parenting. When the way we've parented our children is we don't make a big deal out of a lot of things. But the biggest thing is obedience. And it's not because we want to be the dictators in their life. But my wife constantly says this, is that we need to know that you're going to listen to me in the home. So when we're in a parking lot, we know you're going to listen to us there, right? Like, we need to know that when we say, hey, don't do that, and we're in the safety of our home, that you're going to listen, so that when we're in somewhere, you know, a crowded area or whatever, and we again tell you don't do that, you're going to abide in that moment. Because your safety is really, you know, potentially at risk.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I just, as a mom, you know, I worry a lot. And so if I know that I can trust you with what I'm asking of you here, then I know when we go, I feel better to take you out to places and do things with you, because I know that when I say something, you're going to do it, and that much more. And so it's less of, yeah, like you said, putting you under my thumb, but more because I want to see you safe. I want to see you grow. I want to see you thrive. I want to. So it's for your good, not because I hate you. I always have to remind them, I don't hate you. It's because I love you that I'm willing to discipline right now, because I want to see the best in you. That's, and I want to know that you're going to be safe.
That's so good. So all that to say, God is not after your sacrifice. He's after your obedience. The sacrifice can sometimes seem like the biggest thing in our mind, but that's not actually what he's concerned about. He's about the obedience. Are you going to do what I'm asking you to do? And the one person that came to mind first when I read this is the story of Abraham in Genesis 22. And I'm not going to have it on the screen just because it was a lot of scripture to put out there. But just trust me, I'm reading my Bible and this is what it says, okay? So yeah, Genesis 22. And I'm reading out of the NIV. And I'm going to read most of this chapter because it's just so good. So if you're not familiar with the story of Abraham, God gave him this dream and told him he was going to be, you know, a father of many. And, you know, said, look at the stars. This is how many children are going to be under you and so forth, right? And God gave him that dream. And it was something like 25 years before that dream actually came to fruition. So we get impatient when we're praying for 5 minutes and we don't see it, right? And but Abraham waited 25 years, something like 25 years, to get what God had told him, right? So 25 years, he gets his dream, and then shortly after he gets his dream, is sometime into Isaac's life. This is where Abraham gets tested. And again, this is Genesis 22. And it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded the donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. I want to stop here real quick because something that always hits me about this is that Isaac was old enough to understand what was happening. And we're going to get to the part where Isaac is going to sacrifice, or Abraham's going to sacrifice his son, and he lays him on the altar. And it hits me because we don't get a lot of dialogue other than that. But I can only imagine, like, Abraham looking at his son who he loved and saying, it's going to be okay. I love you. I know you don't understand. I know, like, but God is calling me to do something, and I have to. And that, for me, as a, you know, as a father, and I just think, like, again, God is just looking for the obedience. And he was so willing, Abraham was so willing to step into something that was scary, that he might not even understood. We don't get that dialogue. Was Abraham like, absolutely, I understand? Or was he confused? Did he question God? I don't know. But nonetheless, like, God said, this is what I want you to do. This is where I'm asking you to obey. Can you do this for me? So reading on verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is bigger. This conversation is bigger than just our 21 days of prayer and fasting. This really is something that I want us to be aware. Like, what is God asking us to give up? What is God asking us to get rid of in our lives? Or what is God asking us to do? What is God asking? What is God calling us to? And how many times are we quick to jump and say, yes, God, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. Or how many often are we able to, are we in the place where we're like, I don't really know, God. I don't really know if I should do that. Mm-hmm. Your provision is on the other side of your obedience.
That's good.
Do you have anything to add?
Mm-hmm. Your
provision is on the other side of obedience. And here's the thing. Obedience doesn't always equal faith. Again, I don't know what Abraham was feeling, but I just want to take a little bit of liberty to read into this a little bit. Just knowing Abraham was a man just like me. He was a human just like us. Obedience doesn't always mean faith. Just because I'm obeying God and doing something doesn't mean I'm actually always believing he's going to do something, right? And so sometimes we can get it twisted in our minds to think, well, if this was really God, I would have the faith to do that thing he's asking me to step out in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know many people in the Bible that had all the answers before they moved forward, before they stepped into whatever it was.
That's good.
Your obedience then brings the faith. Mm. Right? And sometimes it is the other way. Sometimes I have all the faith in the world for this, and then you obey, and that is great. Mm. Right? But I think more often than not, there are things that God's saying, hey, I want you to step into this thing. Right? I want you to step into this place. I want you to go pray for that person. I want you to go take that job. I want you to go move to that place or whatever it is. And it's not always like, I don't have faith for that, but you're asking me to, right?
Oh yeah. Now when, like, there's been a couple times in our lives that the Lord has asked us to do something and it didn't necessarily know how it was going to come out, or maybe I think I had faith for it, but I don't know that I had full faith at the time. I still had questions, but I just knew that in my being, to do anything different made me feel sick. Right. Like, it just made me feel like, oh, I was doing something wrong. You know what I mean? Just because I just really wanted to, even sometimes I didn't want to do what it was that God was asking, but I'm like, okay. But I would far rather do this thing that I think that you're asking me to do than to not do it and miss an opportunity to have brought you glory or to have brought this person whatever it was that you needed for them, you know, because God's going to give them that thing regardless, right? He's not confined by time like we are, but I never want to miss that opportunity because I've done it. Like, there was a time, I'll just share. The Lord, I was in line at the store, and we were just freshly married. We didn't have a whole lot to our name at the time, but I went to go pick up a few things, and there was this person in front of me. And, well, there was like two people in front of me, really. But I could see that there was something going on, and they had like milk and something else in their line. And I was like, I started to come to me like, oh, they're not going to be able to pay for that. And here I am, I'm like, I have my stuff, and I know that we need it. But I was like, but I just felt this like, oh, I need to go pay for that stuff. And so, but I got scared because I was like, oh, that I have to go around this person. Then I'm going over there. What if I embarrass them? But, you know, they're already as embarrassed as can be. You could tell that something isn't working, right? But I delayed. I delayed just a second or two. And that delay got that allowed that person to walk away. And I couldn't catch their attention. Say, no, I'll get it. I'll get it for you. But they couldn't hear me. My voice doesn't carry very well, even though I think I'm yelling. Apparently I'm not yelling. But I was like, oh, trying to get them to stop that person. But the person just kept going. And I think I'd missed my moment. And I think about that time so often. It took that one time for me to know I never want to feel that again. That little bit of delay because I was afraid that I was going to embarrass somebody or I was going to be embarrassed if that wasn't what was going on. And I missed an opportunity to bless somebody. I missed an opportunity to do what I felt, I knew in my spirit the Lord was asking me to do. And I never want to feel that again. So, and I just want to encourage you guys. I never want you guys to learn that way either. It's rough, you know, and the Lord doesn't hold that thing against me. I do. He's forgiven me. I've walked that out. I have to forgive myself every time it pops in my head. And sometimes it's, you know, more often than I like to admit, but you know, there's something to be said about making sure that we're really listening and that we are, you know, praying for boldness over ourselves to do these things because they might be uncomfortable. And a lot of times they are going to be uncomfortable. They're not going to be dignified. You might look a fool, but to know that you did it, there's such a greater reward in that. Even if you do look a fool and nothing does come of it, maybe it was wrong, but there's so much blessing in knowing that, you know what, I was obedient to what I knew I felt the Lord was saying, and that's all I can go with, right? So.
What does Jesus say? He says this simple line, my sheep know my voice, or my sheep hear my voice. And when I hear that, it gives me the inclination that, oh, I actually get to hear his voice. And I know that in church we may say that a lot, like you could hear Jesus and whatnot. And I want to double down on that. There's not one person in this room, young or old, that or has been saved for 1 year or 50 years. Like, there's not one person in the church that doesn't have the ability to get a sense from Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That is the privilege we get when Jesus took himself on the cross. He then left so then we could have Holy Spirit, right? And so this thing that Nancy's talking about, there wasn't like an audible voice that was like, Nancy, bless that person, right? It was a feeling, an unction, if you will. That was Holy Spirit. And I just want to hit on that because that ties into this whole talk. Like, that is, we're going to have moments where God is saying, go do that thing. And we're like, no, Lord, that's scary. Or that I'm going to look really dumb, or I'm going to look really foolish. Or right. Like, I like to think it this way. I would rather feel foolish for a moment than miss out on giving somebody kingdom.
Amen.
For eternity.
Amen.
I'd rather feel silly for a quick second and be embarrassed than miss out on giving somebody a piece of kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so take that for what you will, but I want to encourage you guys as well that to know that God is speaking to you. And he is. There's times, and you guys are probably thinking about moments like, oh yeah, that one moment where I felt this way. Like, take those moments and obey. If you're sitting there and so-and-so comes to mind from years ago and you're like, oh, why am I thinking about them? Send them a text. Hey, just thinking about you. Hope you're doing well. Right? Who knows? Like, we just had a moment like that the other day where God put somebody on Nancy's heart and she reached out to this friend, and this friend was in disarray. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea. It wasn't Nancy. We had no idea. It just, Holy Spirit dropped it on Nancy's heart.
I was folding laundry, and I was just kind of talking to the Lord, like, and all of a sudden, this friend of mine just came through, and it was different. Like, because sometimes my friends come to my mind, and I'll send texts out, but this one, there was like a weight. Like, I just couldn't shove it aside, and it wasn't like it was different. And so I was like, okay, Lord. And so I sent her a text, and I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, and we got to minister to her, mm-hmm. and we as a family got to pray for them. And no, it's just so good. Like, what would it look like if the church began to obey those promptings from Holy Spirit? What would it look like if us, the church, not just the pastors, not just the evangelists, but every one of us actually obeyed the Lord when we get those promptings? Like, how many people would we actually be blessing? Mm-hmm. If it was just a simple phone call or a simple word that we gave somebody, or a simple, like, I'm going to buy that person's coffee or whatever. Like we have no idea what those little practical things, like, that's the whole vision of our church here. One life at a time, one life at a time. And each of us get that opportunity. If each of us in here just affect one life at a time, we're going to change the world. Mm-hmm. We're going to change our city.
Oh yeah,
guaranteed. We will change our city. And so, but we have to get this thing in us of Lord, I do hear a voice. I want to hear a voice, and I want to obey when you say, right? I want to obey. I have a funny story I want to share. Nancy already knows where I'm going. It's nothing to do with Jesus or anything. But when I was 16, I was 15 actually. I was dating this girl that wasn't Nancy, and and me and my family had gotten home late, and it was like 7 or 8 o'clock. And, I was like, hey mom, can I go see my girlfriend? And my mom never said no to me. Like, I got everything I wanted, and, I was okay with that. And so hearing no, that I was like, what does that word even mean? Like, what? Like, you know that word? And so anyways, she said no for whatever reason. That's fine. It's her right as a mom. She said no. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'll just go when you go to sleep. Like, you know, I'll just figure it out, right? I'm not condoning this at all. If my kids ever sneak out, I will cut you. Okay. But so anyways, so my mom's not dumb though. My mom is a smart woman, and she lived a life that was way more extreme than I ever lived. So she's been around the block, okay? So she knew. Like, she knew that something was up. Because I'd go into my room, and I'm like, okay, just wait for her to go to bed, and like 10 o'clock roll around. I like, you know, come out to the living room. She's still there watching TV. And she never stayed up. And I was like, okay, so like, go get a drink, go back to my room, hang out for another hour, come out, and she's still there. And I mean, I did this for hours until about 2 in the morning. She's still there. She knows. She's waiting for me to go to sleep, right? But finally, she goes to lay down. And instead of like waiting a little bit, you know, I like wait 5 minutes, I don't know. And I did the whole like pillow under my blanket. I mean, I put a football by the head with like a little cap on it. And like, I mean, I just, yeah. Brain wasn't fully developed, obviously. So I jump out the window and I go hang with my girlfriend. And I found out very shortly after that my mom pretty much knew immediately. Like, she came in my room probably minutes after I left. And she knew where I was, and she let me be there. And I come back, and it's morning now. It's like 6 in the morning or whatever, 7 in the morning. And I go to my window, and I'm getting ready to, like, pull myself up. And here is my little short Mexican mother who's sleep-deprived because she's obviously worried about me. And she's in the window. And she's like, get in here. The icing on the cake of this story is that this was the eve of Mother's Day. And so I come in and, you know, she tells me what and whatnot, and she says, you're grounded. Again, words I've never heard before. So I'm like, what does that mean? And she didn't even know. And it was not a fun moment for us. Bless my mom's heart. She loves me so much, and she didn't really know how to ground me or what that even meant. So 2 days into my grounding, I come home from school, and on my desk in my room, there's a card on my desk. And it's from my mom. And she had written, I'm so sorry I have to do this to you. I love you. Like, my mom was apologizing to me for grounding me, right? So now I think you guys are getting a little insight of, like, why I am how I am. It's because of my mom. No, I'm kidding. And we don't need to go into all the details of Nancy's story. But funny enough, God's funny. Our lives parallel. Because the same year, the same night, okay, 2000, this would have been 2002, something like that. Nancy, out in Tyton, Washington, is sneaking out as well. Okay.
Now, much different circumstances.
Much different circumstances. And we don't need to get all details, but nonetheless, she did sneak out, and
I didn't get a little apology card, guys.
Her dad grounded her for a year. A literal year.
A year. But not only that, my dad is a very wise man. And he's been in trouble a time or two himself. So he took community service perspective and he gave us 50 hours of hard time. So 100 hours of grounding on top of being grounded for the year. So whether or not we finished those hours within the year, we were going to be grounded until those hours were finished and or the year came, both. So in the grounding, I had to 50 hours of hard time. So hard time is not regular time. Oh, no, 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 no. This is, you're going to get up at the crack of dawn. If the sun even comes up before my dad, if my dad's up before the sun, we're up. Okay. And we are working, and we could work all day doing the hardest, most gruesome work. And if he feels like it, he'll give me 30 minutes off for it. But not, I don't get the time that I work for. I get whatever he feels is just at that day. And sometimes it was the time. Sometimes it was 5 minutes. Sometimes it was 10 minutes. It was gruesome. And or there would be days where I could eat a habanero pepper, and for every habanero pepper I eat, I get 5 hours off. So I eat a lot of peppers. But, oh yes. Oh yes.
Call CPS.
And then,
but, I'm joking. It's too late
then
now.
Regular time would have been, you know, you get the time that you work for and stuff. But regardless, there was no apology card. I got what I deserved.
I was living my best life for week one, and I don't know what to tell you. But my point in even telling that is obedience. I mean, obedience is key. Obedience, here's the thing. If God's asking you to do something, that means there's something great on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the difference between, you know, parents and God is that God is so graceful that even when, here's another side to this, okay? Even when he asks us to do something and we don't, he still loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he asks us to do something and we don't, he still blesses us.
Yeah.
Like, that's the crazy thing about grace, is that even though we're fasting and we mess up on a day and we slip up and we eat or we watch something or whatever, right? He's like, okay, I still love you. Like, it doesn't change my love for you. It doesn't change, you know, you just do better, right? Yeah. And that's the greatness of God. But when he's asking us to do something, when he's asking us, when he's giving us that unction in our spirit, that means there's something great on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we can learn how to tune into that and to actually listen when he's speaking, I just believe there's going to be something great that comes out of this place.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And you know, also on the side of obedience, when we don't do something, there's consequences, right? And understanding that those consequences or the discipline is very necessary. It's not because he hates us. It's because he wants the best for us. And just like my dad, it seems really harsh, and it probably was, but ultimately, I'm so thankful because I'm much better for it. I'm a hard worker, for one, and for two, like I always knew, like if I was going to do something, I knew what to expect. And my dad was a man of his word, and whenever he says something, that's what happens. And it kept me out of a lot more trouble. I could have been in a lot more trouble if I had had the grace of Lorraine, who I love so much. She's so sweet, and I just adore her. But she lets Rhett down.
So how does that pertain back to God?
So pertaining that back to God is, yes. Yeah, so sometimes whenever we're not listening, like that day that I didn't do what I felt the unction to do, God doesn't necessarily discipline me in that, but the knowing and that feeling.
Conviction.
Conviction. There's a conviction in knowing that, oh, I let him, you know, I let him down, you know, but he doesn't hold that over me. He's not like, oh, he doesn't always come back to that. He actually is, it's done. You know, what's done is done. I actually just need you to move forward and continue to listen to me. And now, you know, like whenever I say, do this, there's a reason I'm asking you to do this. And you might never get to see the reason why. You might never get your what for or answer, but I just need you to know that I needed you to do it and just do it. And amen. Yeah. And when he gives you a no, listen. It's okay. No's are hard, but they're good. They're just as good as good yeses. So, and sometimes even better.
Come on. We're going to wrap up, but I want to ask this question. Who in this room wants God to move in their life? Okay. If you want God to move in your life, let's do something together. I want us to stand up. Okay. You don't have to come up. Just stay where you're at. And I just want to pray for this thing that we're talking about, that not only would we learn about obedience, but we would put obedience into practice. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Lord, I thank you that for that these people are saying yes to you, God. They're saying yes to who you are in their lives, God. And I'm just declaring right now, Lord, that you're going to give each and every one of the people that are watching online opportunity to obey you, God. Opportunity to love the person in front of us. Opportunity to obey when you're telling us to go somewhere and we don't want to go. When you're telling us to do something and it's too scary, God. That we would take those moments and we would say, yes, God. We would say, yes, God. I thank you for the testimonies that are going to come out of this house when we say yes to you, Lord, in those moments, God. Holy Spirit, begin speaking to your children. Begin speaking to your children, Lord. Even right now, God, even right now, some of you are getting something that God's saying, I'm calling you to this. Are you going to obey me? Are you going to see what's on the other side of that? Even right now, God, in this week and the weeks to come, Lord, this whole year, I'm just declaring that you are children of God. You are going to hear the voice of God. That he is going to give you unctions in your spirit to move in a certain way, to do a certain thing. And that we will be a part of revival in this city, in our families, into our loved ones, to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, to our family, God. That we would be revival. We would be walking revival. I just declare that over each and every one of us today, that we are revival. That revival isn't just a church building. Revival is the people of God. And I thank you for that today, Jesus. I thank you for who you are, God. And I just bless that, Lord. I cement that. I seal that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on. We love you guys. Pastor Mike and Gay, we love you. And you guys have a great week. And go out and change the world. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Love you guys.